The prophet Jeremiah is sent to watch the potter work, a lump of clay, some water, tools to cut and to shape, but mostly hands to form and to guide. And as he works, one side fails. The lump of clay is mushed all together and prepared to work again. A piece is cut off, but potters don't throw away any of the pieces. It's kept. It will be put in the reclaim pile to be used again. And when the vessel is formed, it will be fired. Not to burn it, but to strengthen it. Jesus is aware that the fire comes to all who are shaped by the potter. But the crowds who are following him don't realize it. They're following him because he healed their loved ones. They're following him because his sermons are relatable. He talks about seeds and plants and flour and dough and stuff they know, like salt and coins and sheep. He makes sense to them. They're following him because he performs miracles. He feeds thousands with a couple of fish and some loaves of bread. They're following because he's so kind. He's so different than the other teachers. He's so good. They're following him because maybe, just maybe, he's the one. Maybe. He's the one that the prophets foretold. Maybe he's the one who's going to liberate Israel from Rome and establish her kingdom one more time. Maybe. And Jesus looks at the crowds who are following him. He looks at the individuals in their eyes, and he knows their hopes. He knows their motivations. He knows the work of the potter shaping and forming. And he says to them, if you are going to be my disciples, consider the cost. His words sound harsh to us. If anyone comes to me and does not hate his family, his father, mother, spouse, children, brothers, and sisters, he cannot be my disciples. It helps to know that love and hate in Jesus' time were not labels for emotions, but names for behaviors. To hate was not to feel something, but to do something. To hate meant to turn away from someone, to detach oneself from someone. In the first century Jewish community, culture dictated where you would live, how you would support your family. You would learn your father's trade. You would add on to your father's tents and household. To hate your family was to break away from tradition, from what was expected of you, and to leave. To choose the call of God over the expectations of your family. If you are going to be my disciples, consider the cost, says Jesus. Plan ahead. You know, when you build your towers in your vineyards so that all summer a watchman can be up on the top of your watchtower making sure that invaders don't come and steal your crops, how much worse would it be to have a half-built tower so that everybody who came along and would steal your crops knew that you didn't have a watchman because you didn't even finish your tower? How much worse would it be? In some ways, it's the story of what happened to mainline denominations in the second half of the 20th century. From 1950 to 2000, churches in America lost numbers. The group of people who identified as having no religious affiliation grew dramatically. And the vessel that the potter was working on began to look like clay that was turning hard, was less pliable. Did we plan ahead? Did we have a watchtower? The senior pastor of Brentwood Methodist talks about a young man whose response to his invitation to come to church was, if all my religion is going to change is my Sunday schedule, then I'm not interested. I want something that is going to change my finances, my choices, the way I work, the way I treat my family, the way I treat other people, the way I treat my time. Jesus looks at the crowd and says, plan ahead. If you think all discipleship is going to do is change your Sunday schedule, don't bother. Discipleship is a journey, not a destination. It's a process, not a product. Discipleship is a life of following Jesus, ever being shaped and formed into his image. Thomas A. Kempis, in his book, Imitation of Christ, writes that many come following Jesus who love his heavenly kingdom, but few come looking forward to suffering. Many admire his miracles, but few follow him in the humiliation of the cross. And that is the truth that Jesus wanted to convey that day and this day to his followers. Discipleship is a demanding thing. It's not about getting here on Sunday. Potters are not gentle with their clay. They knead it and they pound it and they throw it on the wheel. Disciples allow God to be their potter, to shape their hands, to shape their heads, to shape their hearts. Jesus says, whoever does not bear his own cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. Now, what does that mean? What does it mean to carry your cross? It means to allow God to be the potter shaping the work of your hands. I saw it this summer as so many of you cooked and served and welcomed and cleaned up so that the community could gather here, to come together for supper, to support the community and the families affected by the floods in Germantown. I saw it as families who were affected by the flood sat and enjoyed good food and conversation, as almost $11,000 was counted and taken to the bank, as donated school supplies multiplied, as you went into stores and asked for discounts, as families cried and hugged and emailed all weekend, overflowing with thankfulness when they received their children's school supplies and gift cards to complete the rest of their children's back-to-school needs. In total, 33 children received school supplies and $6,000 in gift cards. And as Jenny said, almost $5,000 will be donated for help in rebuilding. But those who are disciples don't finish a project and sit back and enjoy what they've done. They consider the cost of their next project and offer their hands as it takes shape. The search committee has already created a scavenger hunt for items for our fall flood bucket packing for Presbyterian Disaster Assistance. We have a sign-up genius with all of the items that are needed. So if you're a bargain shopper, it's time to start shopping. If you're interested, let me know. Let Jenny know. We'll send you the link. Preparations are underway for our next room in the inn, where we host our homeless neighbors for a meal, for an evening, for a safe place to spend the night, and breakfast the next morning. This season, we're in need of a second overnight coordinator and a second evening coordinator. Last season, I coordinated evenings, and Chris was the overnight coordinator. And we want to continue, but we want to do it once a month, and somebody else take once a month. Let me or Chris know if you want to know more about it. Take a look at your hands. Take a look. Consider the cost of discipleship, Jesus says. How will you let God shape them to help the hurting and to heal broken places? And the formation of disciples is about more than our hands. It's about more than our actions. Disciples allow God to shape our heads. Disciples study. As school starts back, you have the opportunity to set your calendar. What are you going to be a part of? Will you make Sunday morning a priority? Will you gather with other disciples to worship and to learn? Consider the cost of joining a study group at church, maybe Presbyterian Women or Presbyterian Men, an adult Sunday school class. Come to Wednesday night dinners. Maybe there's a study or a group that we don't have that you would like to have. Let Doug, our Director of Christian Education, know about it. And finally, disciples allow God to shape their hearts. Paul, in writing to the Galatians, described the transformation of heart as one that overflows with what he called the fruits of the Spirit: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. And the way to develop this heart is to allow the potter to take the knife and cut out everything in the heart that is corrupt, everything dirty, everything poisoned, everything tainted, stained, or tarnished. I don't know about you, but I have a hard time naming my sins. I don't generally, knowingly, overtly do things that are just plain wrong. My sins are more insidious. They're sins of the heart, sins of pride, of judgment, of bias. And one tool that I use as a mirror to reveal my biases is the implicit association test. It's an online assessment that requires you to sort as fast as you can, and it reveals your biases about women in the workplace, about weapons and their use, about race, sexuality, religions, disabilities, weight, politics. It's free. First, you sort pictures, and then you sort adjectives, and then they put the adjectives together with the pictures. Do you associate a disabled person with positive adjectives more slowly than you do a typical person? It's objective. And as I've worked through the assessments, it has helped me see where, as a disciple, I am called to let God cut a rotten part out of my heart. Because it is only as our hearts are shaped that our hands will take shape. Only as our heads are formed will our hearts be willing. Only as our hands are being worked will discipleship be anything more than a change in our Sunday schedule. And as long as discipleship is just a change in our Sunday schedule, let me promise you that that decline in the church that started in 1950 is just going to keep on going down. Because that's not the church that God called us to be. Discipleship is the formation of our heads, our hearts, and our hands. Jesus looks at the multitudes who are following him, and that includes you and me, and he sees deep down inside. And he offers an invitation that is also a warning. If you are going to be my disciples, consider the cost. Amen.